Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're out west, Ashburn, VA. Commanders, you know, everybody's caught up in Christmas and prime rib and opening presents. We've got a big old ball game Sunday night. Win and in. Get to 11 wins. Get to Beamich in a 2-2. Guarantee their playoff berth. Hosting the Atlanta Falcons Sunday night football. So it's back to work in the NFL, man. Beamich enjoying some quality time with the grandbabies. We got none other than Tobo Altozzo sitting in with us. Toby, what up, man?
I've got T. Mitch. I've got Toby Appetizer already. The chat's already on fire. So I love the nicknames I get when I hang out with you guys.
Did you decide how you're going to handle Rice Cube? Because I know
I like it. I think I'm going to leave it. I think I'm just going to leave it. But I like the various nicknames I get.
I love it. I love it. Shout out to Toby. Does a great job. We're going to have a lot going on today. We'll definitely enjoy ourselves. Also, Landini. Merry Christmas, Landini. How do you do? Landfill's doing well. White Brian is in the aquarium, is my understanding. We are in Ashburn. The boys in the aquarium are down by Nats Park. Jeffrey, when the time is right, you say hello, pal.
What up?
What's up, Jeff? How are you, dude?
Right on time.
I'm good, bro. What's how y'all?
Yo, Jeff, you sound rough, dog.
It's been a rough 2 days, JP. Rough 3 days.
Dude, it was Christmas. What'd you get into?
Okay, so first... Christmas Eve, my 16-year-old brother challenged me to a race.
A running race?
Yes. And then the 17-year-old was like, I told the 16-year-old, I was like, yo, I'll beat you, relax. Then the 17-year-old came out and was like, I'll smoke you. I said, you will beat me, you won't smoke me. So, long story short...
You sound has nothing to do with running two races against your little brother.
Yes, it
has something to do with tequila cigars.
Hold on. So, long story short, I raced them both twice, and I've been stiff since Christmas Eve. I wake up to go see B. Mitch on Christmas Day to get the turkey fry for my mom, and there's bourbon. And I'm like, okay. This should help with the muscle relaxation.
Yeah.
And it did.
Definitely.
It did so well that I was asleep at like 6 o'clock yesterday and I still woke up late.
All right, Jeff.
Makes a little sense.
Good
then.
To hear from you, pal. How was everybody's Christmas? Toby, how was your Christmas? You laid low, correct?
Yeah, just laid low. Can't complain. Watch football. Watch some basketball. Had some steak and potatoes. Opened some presents. Can't complain.
You know, it's remarkable Christmas with little kids is that you still get like the magic of it. So it was great with my daughters. And we had a really nice time. My sister finally made it to town from California. So I got to see her and her husband, Kevin. I saw my mom. Like, I saw all my wife's family. It was a very nice couple days of Christmas. And you get in this, like, bubble of just everyone being pleasant. You know what I mean? Like, it's the holidays. Like, we're, you know, everybody, like, you get to Jeff's point. I know how B does it when he does his, like, turkey fry and he was cooking up briskets. Like, on Christmas, you get the good bourbon out. Like, you buy the nice bottle of red wine. And, you know, we had prime rib, and my mother-in-law makes this gorgonzola cheese pasta, which is just phenomenal. Shout out to my sister-in-law, Alicia, made these, like, vegetables that were banging, like Brussels sprouts and, I don't know, squash or something. It was good. And you have a really nice Christmas. I made the executive decision. My wife kind of looked at me cross-eyed, and I said, we're Ubering to Christmas. And she's like, what? I was like, dude, it's Christmas. I don't want to have the, like, debate about who's driving. And then I left hand up on this one, Toby. When I say, like, all right, I'll drive, I'm just a sourpuss. Like, I just, like, sit in the corner. And I'm like, can we leave? Can we leave? Can we leave? And I just didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
And with the Uber app, you could schedule your ride in advance. So then I knew, like, I didn't have to, like, worry about not getting a ride. You know, like, sometimes you pull the Uber app up, and it's like, yo, there ain't no rides.
Yeah, we're leaving, but we're actually going to stick around for another 45.
Right, exactly. So we didn't have any of that concern. And my kids definitely asked a couple times, like, why are we – I was like, I just want fancy car. I just want you guys to ride in a cool car for Christmas. The 9-year-old definitely didn't buy it. The 5-year-old maybe. But, dude, so you're just in this, like, pleasant – like, there's – lights everywhere, and you know, it's just there's some magic to the Christmas season, right? You know what cancels the magic very quickly? The frickin' Beltway right around Tyson's. It's like you're just right back into the Terror Dome. Like, it's like, all right, real life is back, baby. Because my drive to get out here to Ashburn is get out of my little neighborhood, Clara Barton, which is kind of a nice, easy little. Like, imagine GW Parkway before it became a Terror Dome. Like, it's just a nice little easy stretch of road. And then I get to the Beltway, and I got to get over the bridge and get through Tyson's to the toll road, which is another nice, easy stretch of road, especially these days. There's no way going to work today. The government takes 3 weeks off or whatever they do. I mean, no one's listening to us today. There's nobody driving around or doing anything. But I'm glad we're here. Trust me. And the Beltway in Tyson's and GW Construction, I can't speak to this because I've never been there, but are you familiar with, like, Fallujah or Baghdad circa 2006 when things really weren't going well?
Sure.
I imagine that's what that stretch of the Beltway is most comparable to.
Yeah. Maybe slightly safer, but still a little bit hazardous.
Dude, there was this truck, 18-wheeler truck, that had, like, the long, like, tow bed, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was empty. And I was behind it, and it, like, the truck brand, or this dude painted on there, whatever, Renegade, and he was absolutely living up to the name. Like, I've never seen an 18-wheeler truck being more aggressive trying to cut people off. It was something. And I think the only thing worse in, like, the last 24 hours that I saw other than the Beltway this morning, and it wasn't, like, I got through there. It was just you were fighting for your life.
Yep.
It was Al Pacino. You got to fight for that inch getting through the Beltway this morning. The only thing worse than, I think, the Beltway was the performance of the Houston Texans yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
They were awful.
It was horrendous. It was awful to watch. And, I mean, look, I don't know how much is the O-line We might have to have a real conversation about Stroud. Like, he was awesome last year. What the heck has happened?
The numbers have changed significantly. And one thing B always says is, can't really trust rookies. Like, you got to see if they do it a second season. And I think, you know, 27 NFL teams would still take Stroud in a hurry. But the numbers, the only real number that has changed significantly is the yardage. And the picks. Last year he completed 64% of his passes. Right now he's at about 63%. Touchdowns are on track to finish about the same. Probably a little lower in more games. Last year he only played 15 games, threw 23 touchdowns. This year, in 16 games, he's got 19 touchdowns. Well, but the picks are significantly bigger.
And last year, it just seemed like when there was a dude wide open, he didn't miss a throw, right? Like, if it was something where he had to layer a ball in over a corner in between the safety, that ball was there. He had a couple early in the game when it wasn't over yet, like, which happened pretty quickly. But there were a couple on the same drive, the next drive, where it was, that's an easy ball to layer in there. I'm not saying it's a you know, a lot of NFL quarterbacks missed that throw, but C.J. Stroud did not miss that throw last year, and he missed a ton of those. The one, I know he got stepped on by his lineman, but even like throws like just dump offs of the running back he was missing. It's just something's off there. It shows you the importance of the O-line, because this is a guy last year that couldn't miss, and now it seems like he can't trust his O-line at all, and in turn, he's becoming inaccurate, which was kind of the selling point of drafting Stroud. So it's just been crazy to watch this season. They're already in the playoffs.
Now, they've lost a lot. You lose Diggs, then you lose Tank Dell. Nico missed a bunch of time. But, yeah, like, you want – they're in the playoffs because they're kind of in a fraudulent division.
Terrible division.
Look, specific to Stroud, think about some of these numbers. His adjusted yards per pass attempt, his AYA, was 8.7 last year, which is pretty damn strong. It dropped to 669 this year. That's two whole points.
Well, and how much of that is you got to get the ball out?
Right. And it's gains of 20 or more. It's to your point about hitting guys downfield. I mean, the yards per attempt went from 8.2 to 7. I mean, just yards per completion, which is a little bit more rudimentary, is almost 13 down to 11. Yeah. 12.9 to 11.1. Like, there's some pretty – but I would still –
I think he's still talented.
People love to throw like the most complicated numbers at you, and that's what I just did. But I'll go to the basics. Last year he threw 5 picks in 15 games. This year he's at 12.
Yeah,
like that's a significant jump. The sacks have taken a significant jump. I don't know. It's troubling. But the flip side of that is to me, and we got to see two of them yesterday. The Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills are just on another level, I think maybe from everyone, but certainly from the rest of that AFC.
Yeah.
And, like, the Steelers, sorry, fellas, like, it's going the wrong way. Will the real Russ Wilson please stand up?
Well,
it's kind of starting to happen.
And I think we all respect Mike Tomlin. He does a heck of a job. But it seems like this happens all too often with them. And maybe it's a talent thing, and he's able to coach them to their max, and they reach their max, and we expect them to go to the next level, and they just can't. Maybe that's the case, and maybe it's more roster construction than coaching. But how many times have we seen the Steelers either start incredibly well and then fall off? I mean, heck, Washington saw it in the 2020 season where they're undefeated. They go on the road and win. I mean, how many times have we seen them feel like they're going, you know, they're talking about it on the broadcast just a couple weeks ago. They're looking at the one seed, maybe not realistically, but felt like there was still a shot. Now they're just hanging on. They're probably not even going to win the division now, right?
Right.
So it's like this
Steelers
team kind of nosedives.
They've now lost 3 in a row in Philly, in Baltimore, home to Kansas City. Now those are
tough games.
Those are probably 3 of the best teams in the NFL, but people love saying, you know, who is Washington beat? I've heard that on these airwaves. Like, go through the Steelers. They beat Denver week 2. That was before. Nick still sucked then. Now he's fine. Beat the Chargers at home back in week 3 is a pretty decent win. I mean, they lost to the Cowboys, Raiders, Jets, Giants. They did beat the Skins. They did beat the Ravens the first time up there. I don't know. I think the who have you beat game is foolish, because I think every week in the NFL is its own entity and like a microcosm of its own little universe. But to me, the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens are on a different level. I think the Lions can be on that level. I don't know. But like, we don't even know how the NFC is going to stack out at this point. Whereas Kansas City, say whatever you want about them, I think they're playing their best football. I think they look way better now than they did 2 months ago. And Chris Jones didn't even play yesterday, right?
No, he did not play. No, and this is what B. Mitch was talking about the other day when you were out is, you know, when you're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, there's no need to, if the person's running a 6-second 40-yard dash or whatever, I don't need to run a 4.3, right? Like, I just need to be a little bit faster. Right. And that's what they've done, and now it seems like they're catching their stride heading into the playoffs. They're going to have that bye week to get healthy. Sounds like Patrick Mahomes is going to go have his kid during that time was the plan. I don't know. But it seems like they're getting things rolling at the right time. They're getting healthy. I mean, I think it was something.
They know what they're doing.
What
dude.
Was it?
They are a championship 15, organization.
15 straight games or something like that where they'd only won by one score? Not yesterday. They handled that game easily, and you're just getting rolling.
And you're
the defense
on the road
better.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, you know, it's not like when they got the Browns 2 weeks ago and they, what, they grind it 21-7 or something?
Yeah.
They controlled it and just kind of.
And they're going to get healthier, too, because you're getting Hollywood Brown more in the mix, which I think has helped out, what's his name, the Xavier Worthy.
Sure.
Because they were talking about putting him back into more of his normal role. Pacheco feels like he hasn't even got fully mixed back in yet because they're using Kareem Hunt a lot. I mean, they're going to be tough to beat.
And bro, they're 15-1. And it's like
wild.
We all come up with ways to talk around them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not explosive anymore. Like, oh, Mahomes doesn't go downfield anymore. You know what they're the best in the league at? Third downs. Staying on the field. Did you notice their opening possession yesterday? They ran the same little, like, counter handoff four straight plays. They ran it on fourth down. It was pretty remarkable. I think you get Mahomes, Reed, Kelsey. Obviously, there's a lot of other pieces. There's a lot of guys on that defense I really like. The linebacker, Bolton, that kid can play for me
awesome.
Any day. I mean, just all guts and just super tough. McDuffie's so good. Chenal's so good. That's a dude I wanted Ron to draft, and he didn't. They're just a really – Karlaftis – gives them a lot of good rush.
And the tough part is you talk about the Ravens and the Bills being in that same tier. The Ravens have beat themselves at times. At times the Bills do it. You know, once it gets into January, the Chiefs will not beat themselves. You might be able to go out there and beat them, but they're not going to beat themselves. And there's just not been teams the last couple of years that have been able to play consistent enough, really, since the Bengals, right? The only team that's been able to go out there to Kansas City and beat them.
The only team that's done it. And last year, the thing was, oh, well, Kansas City has to go on the road. They'll never.
Didn't matter.
What about Mahomes has never shown he can do it on the road? Well, he went to Buffalo, and then he went to Baltimore and handled it. When you watching Baltimore yesterday, they looked great. That offense has just so many ways to beat you. Derrick Henry is just an absolute monster. The Lamar rollout to Mark Andrews, he didn't quite score. I think it was like an 80-yard gain, 75-yard gain or whatever. I guess it couldn't have been. He had two catches, so it was a 67-yard gain. That offense is loaded. Zay Flowers can play. He didn't have a big day yesterday. But I just – of the Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, of that group, I think you have to say the Chiefs are by far the most trustworthy. Who's your least trustworthy?
Of that group?
Yeah.
The Ravens.
Me too.
Because you've seen them lose to the Raiders. You've seen them have bad games. And there's still something about Lamar in the playoffs. He's got to prove it to me, right? Like,
I'd say the same thing with Allen, but yeah.
Yeah, well, and Allen, to be fair with Allen, like, he was 13 seconds away from ending that notion if they can just play some sort of defense, right? Like, that to me is not as much on Josh Allen as, like, Lamar last year in the playoffs. People want to talk about, well, KC and this and that and KC, what? If they score, what, 25 points, they win that ball game. And Lamar's done that how many times in his career? So I just need to see him do it in the playoffs. I mean, the fact that he went out there and did what he did yesterday sets the all-time quarterback rushing record. He basically, what, he touched the ball. He made plays four times in the rushing game with 87 yards, and he completed 10 passes. Like, he didn't do a whole lot, and he was still dominant in that game, right?
Dominant.
Like, so it just, I don't know what Ravens are going to show up. They can be incredibly dominant, but then they can also just play right down to the field of who they're playing, and you can't have that against the Kansas City. Dude, I don't think you can have that against Buffalo either.
Even last year, they had the bye, and then their first playoff game was against Houston at home. They came out flat in that thing.
Yeah.
They put it together in the second half and ended up blowing them out. But, like, it is remarkable to watch that because the final score is obviously a blowout. But for a lot of that game, it was 10-2, I think. And if Houston – some of these coaches are just so allergic to kicking a field goal. Like, they went for it on consecutive fourth downs in the red zone. Like, if you just take points there, or if you actually get one of the touchdowns, yeah. You know what I mean? A number of things we need to do, because we have a program here. We're going to try to stay on board and get things done. Lanville, I need you to text Doc Walker. He keeps sending me screenshots of his mock draft, but we need to get the whole thing. We need Doc's mock draft before the end of the year, because then he's going to start rolling out all his new ones throughout the playoffs, and I want to get on board for mock draft number one from Doc Walker.
I love it.
Also want to shout out my sister-in-law, Alicia, and my father-in-law, Lou. So I always set up like a shocker, like a gambling like family event. So yesterday we had six questions because we were all, everybody was at the house for Ravens Chiefs. Or no, I'm sorry. Ravens Texans.
Yeah.
So you had to pick the spread, which it settled at Ravens minus 6.5. So you had to pick the spread, Lamar's passing total, which was 226, Stroud's, which was like 250, Henry was 92, I want to say, Mixon was like 63, and then just the dumb one, the total score, when you add it up, will that be odd or even, right? So that's just a total coin flip. That's six questions. So Lou and Alicia won. How many do you think they got right?
Five?
All six.
All six?
Yeah, that's pretty damn good, right? I was the only person in the house that picked Houston. I like to zag when the world zigs. That did not work for me.
I liked him with that spread.
Shout out to James Cooper via Twitter. Says he's actually listening. He's running errands in the Shenandoah Valley. District Sports Talk says he's listening. My boy Danny texted me. My boy Greg texted me. So the good news is we have at least four people listening, Toby. Let's have a work day, folks. Barry Svrluga is going to join us at 11. You'll hear from Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury. Frank Schwab at noon. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Brian enjoying some quality time with the fam. Me and Toby are hanging out in Ashburn, Virginia. Tobo, as we get going, apparently more people are listening. We're up to like 9.
Yeah, credit to the people out doing stuff today. Returning gifts, whatever you're doing. Thanks for listening.
C-Dub 1906, listening on the Odyssey app down in Raleigh, North Carolina. Lanville, you want to guess how my guy C-Dub spelled Odyssey?
With an O?
Yeah, like Homer. Like the Odyssey. C-Dub, I appreciate you, brother. A-U-D-A-C-Y. I don't know how you could have the app on your phone. Although maybe that was like a weird autocorrect. I'll give you benefit of the doubt. Tailgate Ted's watching the show on YouTube in Florida. Tailgate Ted's in Florida? What the hell are we doing wrong?
No kidding.
Freezing our butts off in a trailer
saw,
in Ashburn.
Our guy Commandante Tequila's out in California.
That's home for him. I think he's an East L.A. guy.
Okay.
Ryan Ricks, return to RFK, Carl Grebe, Noble Martin. Appreciate all you guys. So we've made it to 13, perhaps.
Yeah.
Do Lanville, Jeff, and White Brian count as listening?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If 16. Jeff says so, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Jeff rules with an iron fist. Kerwin's listening because the walls are paper thin.
So. We're racking them up.
Yeah, we're there. Tay Bugs, we are definitely here watching on YouTube. Appreciate you, Tay. Who checked in first this morning? Ooh, we got a new person, a new winner for first check-in. Tech Mark B. He's new to me. White Brian, you're now in charge of the YouTube. Is Tech Mark B new to you?
Yeah.
Okay. White Brian, you and I are still in the getting to know each other period of things. Your job is about the YouTube, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things. YouTube stream and then getting actual clips onto YouTube.
Okay, I appreciate that. Is there any way you could be in charge of keeping track of who wins the first check-in each morning for the program?
Yeah, I can make a spreadsheet.
Hell yeah. You know that I do not.
Spreadsheets.
I mean, I don't really know how to make spreadsheets.
Come on, JP. That's rudimentary.
Bro, so my sister-in-law is an accountant. And last night, I don't.
And you don't know how to you don't know how to make spreadsheets?
I don't know how this came up. If you put Excel on my computer, I couldn't do a single thing.
Really?
Like, it might as well be written in German. Like, I would just have.
I know very basic stuff. Very basic stuff.
If I may, Toby, Lanfield, does this surprise you at all that I don't know how to make spreadsheets?
No.
That's a 0 out of 10 surprise. All right, more people are checking in. Travis Wigfall, Los in Severna Park, Tyrone. Tyrone's Twitter handle is Take That, Take That.
Okay.
I like that. All right, Toby, we have plenty to discuss looking to Sunday's game. Sunday's game is all that matters, man. Like, I want to be very serious. It is a Thursday. I'm trying to remain in the holiday spirit, but the Beltway kind of sucks the holiday spirit right out of a person. I think anybody that calls in that wants to talk about benching people for the Cowboy game, please go drive in circles on the GW Parkway. Like, I'm so dumb. All eyes on Atlanta. That's all that matters.
Exactly right. I don't even understand where the idea of benching people for the Cowboys game came from, right? Like, worry about that when the time comes. There's still something to play for. We were just talking about this walking in today. If they win, they're still on pace with Green Bay, and there's still a chance, like, if they were to finish with the same record, they would pass Green Bay because they have a better conference record. So there's still going to be stuff to play for because they're going to, I would assume in Week 18, they'll play at the same time as the Packers. So it's not like you'll know, you know, the Packers won, so you don't need to, you don't have anything to play for, even if they were to win on Sunday. But why the heck are you thinking, like, how much does Jaden need to play and this and that? Worry about that when the time comes, if it comes. I don't think it is going to come. Just enjoy the ride that you're on right now and don't get ahead of yourself. I know it's nice that you're 10-5, but let's be realistic here for a second, right? Like, you also don't want them – there's also something to be said, JP, that this team has come out of an extended bye or, you know, a 10-day break right out of the Thursday game. They didn't look great. They came out of their bye week, and they also didn't look great. So you want to bench players and have them sit out to give themselves another bye going into a playoff game? I'm good.
We're not going to entertain it. That's where we're at. We're going to focus on Atlanta. It should be – if you're listening to our show, odds are you root for the Burgundy and Gold. Or you have some weird, twisted thing where you hate them and listen to us. I don't really know, right? But if you're listening, it's all eyes on Atlanta. And everything else is just buffering. Everything else is just noise that you need to ignore. Specific to Atlanta, this weekend, Sunday night, if that joint's not sold out, then – we're doing it wrong. Yeah. It should be sold out. It should be all Burgundy and Gold. It should be a wild, loud crowd, which, is, frankly, is what I expect. Let me be clear. I'm not questioning that that will happen. I think the crowds at the bank have been dope all year. But the injury report's not great.
No. Well, and how much of this, I mean, you've been covering this team. They didn't practice yesterday. It's a walkthrough. They didn't even practice at all yesterday.
So they practiced Tuesday. I think yesterday they were closed, but they have to provide an estimation. That's how the NFL rules work. They have to provide an estimated injury report.
I don't know how listing so many people as DNPs would be gamesmanship, but is that something that you buy?
I'm going to decipher it for you. The Ertz-Farrell. They literally called it non-injury rest. So their DNP, I wouldn't worry about. Yeah. Like, there are people on this list that we have seen enough from that I'm not concerned. And then there's people on this list that maybe didn't finish a game or didn't play or whatever that I think is worth taking note of. De'Ami Brown, what do I always say? Is a speed guy with a soft tissue thing.
Yes.
That you got to pay attention to. De'Ami got a DNP Wednesday with a hamstring. Hammies, receivers. You don't like to hear those two words.
When did
in the same
he go
sentence.
Out in that game? Because he seemed to miss a decent part of the second half of that game. He was playing well before that.
But didn't he come back in though?
But he missed like the entire fourth quarter. It feels like, right?
Yeah.
Like he missed some significant time in that game.
I know they told us when we got in the locker room, there were a couple players that didn't finish with injury, and therefore we weren't allowed to talk to them. I know Andrew Wiley was one of them.
Okay,
Andrew Wiley DNP with the groin. That is a real thing at this point. He had to come out of the game. But to me, Cornelius Lucas is basically just like a sixth starter.
Yeah.
And I think you can go to Big Luke there, and I don't think it's much of a fall off. I think Big Luke might be better in the run game, frankly.
I'm glad they at least started doing that, because before when they went to Trent Scott it was a downgrade. Now at least going with Lucas, it's kind of a wash.
So De'Ami, real concern. Wiley, real concern, but not – like, De'Ami's a bigger concern because they're so thin at wideout. Yeah. You've already lost Noah Brown. You're just so thin at the position. I thought De'Ami looked pretty good last week. He got loose deep early on in that thing. Ertz and Farrell, that's just veteran rest. McGee, I think he came out of the game. I don't think that's a tremendous loss, but you don't want to have him. Terry McLaurin on here with an ankle for a DNP. In my mind, in my estimation, did I see? Yeah, I saw him after the game walking around fine. That's a veteran thing. It doesn't mean his ankle doesn't hurt like hell, but the way Terry is, the type of dude he is, the type of seasons he's put together, and the type of season he's having this year, there's no chance he's not playing Sunday night.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to play. It'll be interesting to see what he gets out there today, if it's limited or if he's right back out there today. I think that's going to be the key, is to keeping an eye on the stuff for today, because they're actually going to practice today.
Right. John Allen, full participant, still with the pec.
How much do you think, if he comes back, presumably, maybe not even this Sunday, but let's just say he's coming back at any point, whether it's Week 18 or the playoff game, is he someone that's just going to be in a rotational package where he comes in and plays 15 plays, or is he going to get almost a full workload?
That's an interesting question. I think the earlier question is, how do they make the roster spot? And I think he's a really great, funny guy. But I think if I was Phil Mathis, I'd be a little concerned about my roster spot when John comes back. I think maybe early on you kind of bring him along, not necessarily slowly, but you let him work his way back, because he's not going to be in football shape.
No. You know? I mean, they kind of rotate through guys anyways, so it's not like...
D-lines always do. Yeah. Like every D-line around the country.
But they've also had some dudes step up, like... Sheldon Day, I thought, has been really, really good recently. So
Newton's been good.
Yeah, so I think it's just, you put him back in that rotation. I'm just curious how much of an impact he's going to be able to make in whatever amount of snaps he gets out there.
I mean, even, especially if you're talking about the interior guys, right now, the Daron Payne leads them in snap count, and it's at 68%. Yep. Like, no matter who it is, there's going to be some level of rotation. Johnny Newton's at about 48%. Your guy Sheldon Day, who's come on pretty strong of late, is playing about like 24% of snaps. So this is going to evolve. But I think you get Allen back out there eventually as much as you can. Not necessarily this week. I do think you get Allen back this week. A big concern here, though, I'd probably put it at the top of the list till we learn a little bit more. Marshawn Lattimore.
It has to be.
Dude, I mean, he had to come out of the game. BSJ immediately got a penalty. You traded for Lattimore because of his – he's a really good corner. And even when he got those PIs, some of those were junk. The second one I thought was really weak.
Well, okay, so I go back to this. You have the ability – so I covered the Milwaukee Bucks for their championship run. I know this is going to seem like it has nothing to do with it, but it does. They traded for P.J. Tucker. And P.J. Tucker in the playoff series against the Brooklyn Nets was stuck on KD. And KD still went for like 40 a night, but they didn't have to change anything. They just left P.J. Tucker on Kevin Durant. It seems like even though A.J. Brown was able to get some of his, they didn't have to switch anything up.
Right.
They didn't have to roll coverages. They just said, we're going to leave Lattimore over there, and sometimes he's going to get beat, sometimes he's not. He's going to go make his plays, but it allowed them to do everything else and not worry about A.J. Brown. So I think when he was out and now you're having to figure out moving coverages and doing this and that, it really hurt the defense. So they need this guy back because, frankly, you don't make a trade in season. I know people are looking ahead to next year and the year after thinking he's here for the next 2 years, which is true, but you don't make a trade in season for a guy not to be a part of your team for the rest of the season.
Totally agree, man. I totally agree. And I think it's I think that's pretty well said there. And with Lattimore, his level of play is significantly higher. Sarah still could get there, I think. But A.J. Brown didn't kill you in that game. He had some catches.
No.
The league is designed for the offense to have the advantages. Like, you know in tennis why they call it a break point? Because the guy serving is supposed to win. Like, well, the offense is supposed to win.
And even if A.J. Brown had his...
We got a break. Like, holy moly, Toby.
Devontae
Look
Smith
at the clock
wasn't
every
crazy.
Once in a while. Barry Sreluga at 11. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. About 10 minutes, Barry Sreluga from the Washington Post is going to join us. Also, 48 from the Washington Post has some good reporting on how everything came together with RFK. It's going to be pretty interesting how this all shakes out. I think, you know, you really feel like this thing's happening. and just the momentum. Landfill had the best text ever, whenever that was, last week, Landini, to the group thread. He's like, Snyder was here for 25 years, couldn't get a stadium, couldn't get a quarterback. The Harris Group's been here a year, and it looks like they got both.
It's incredible. Incredible. It's so good. You know, I go back to what we talked about last week, and Joe Theismann talk about, you know, uniting generations, and I think it really will do that if they get back to RFK.
Totally. Because you don't care.
Correct.
And you were like, just build a stadium as fast as possible. And I was like, no, get it there. That's
yeah,
what
I mean,
matters.
Even just between the two of us, putting it back at RFK, giving me the new stadium, putting them together, I think brings people together. You're going to hear stories about how special the site is. People that are my age, you know, that you know, I grew up watching VHS, VCR tapes. People my age and younger haven't necessarily done that, right?
Right.
I was ingrained in this as a kid. Some people weren't, and so they don't understand the meaning of RFK. So you put it back there, you bring them together with fans that love RFK, and they hear the stories and they hear how important that place was.
I agree with all that, but I would add, this is not just a sentimentality nostalgia play. If done correct, it can also be super dope.
Yes.
Like, you have waterfront that is completely underutilized. And I'd add, like, Nats Park has really come together, the neighborhood and everything, but I think they had an opportunity, I'll use a baseball lingo, they had an opportunity to hit like a grand slam with that site. And some of it was just the learners being cheap by not refusing to pay to bury the garages, so you have no sight lines or anything.
Yeah.
Like, they had an opportunity to hit a grand slam at Nats Park, and they hit a ground rule double. Like, it's nice, it's fine, but there's nothing really memorable about Nats Park. Imagine, I recognize, I guess you can't face due west in baseball because of
The sunset. Sunshine, yeah.
But, like, there's got to be a way where you have sight lines out in center field of the Capitol or the Monument or something. And don't tell me that if you sit in the last row on the third base line, you can see it. Terrific. You want the television cameras to see that. And if not, have it face the water and let people hit bombs out into the Anacostia. Like,
yeah.
Luckily, the city and the developers have done well around there. That makes Nats Park area pretty cool. But they had an opportunity to build something truly fantastic, and they built something pretty good. And pretty good's good. I'm not mad at them. But I want truly fantastic, and you have that opportunity again at RFK.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with that site, I think even just like the transportation, people my age are going to go on the metro over there versus driving over there to park, and you're going to have more of an opportunity to do that. And, you know, it's cool when you go to a Caps or a Wiz game down at Cap 1 and everybody's coming into the game at the same time, and there's like a camaraderie of everybody wearing their Caps jersey or everybody wearing Wiz gear, and same thing going out. I think it's going to be that same way even more when you throw everybody in the burgundy and gold going to the new stadium. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. I hope, like you said, I hope they hit a home run, because you're right. Like, Nats Park is great, but the fact that you can't see the Capitol, or there's really nothing. Like I was telling somebody, if they flipped, I go up to Baltimore because I want to go to Camden Yards, right?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people grew up O's fans, they'll go regardless, but that wasn't the case for me. But I want to go because I want to go to Camden Yards. If they flipped ballparks, I would never go up to Baltimore.
Nailed it. Camden Yards, they built something truly fantastic. And the rest of MLB tried to emulate that. Now, maybe that's kind of evolved now, but Camden Yards is a milestone ballpark,
yeah.
Right? So I've worked every single NFL stadium, all of them. There are, I don't know, 30, maybe 29. People ask me all the time, like, what's your favorite? What's the coolest ones? And Lambeau's in its own category. But even what Soldier Field should be, so Lambeau, they had this historic site, and they made it bigger and better and added the luxury seating, all the stuff you need, but maintained. You've been to Lambeau. You worked in Milwaukee,
awesome.
Right? It's awesome. Did you go to Soldier Field?
I did.
They, you could have done the same. Soldier Field should be the dopest stadium in the NFL. It's right on, what is that, Lake Michigan, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's right on the lake.
Awesome spot.
And it's beautiful. It's this old historic construction, these giant pillars. There's like statues of World War II soldiers everywhere. Mm-hmm. It should be the dopest stadium in the NFL. And it sucks. The addition, the renovations they put on there, is like an alien landed
it looks like
on
a spaceship
top.
Landed in the Coliseum.
They can't get the mezzanines right. Like, yes. the corridors all suck. The press box sucks. Everything about it sucks. And that's the problem, is what you can or cannot do. And I don't know if it comes down to money or expertise or who you choose to do the construction, whatever. Nats Park is good. I honestly think when Capital One opened, when it was whatever the hell the first time, Verizon, MCI Center,
yeah,
that was more revolutionary. Nats Park was just kind of fine. I want RFK to be fantastic. When we come back, Barry Svrluga joins us. He is fantastic.